मय
ब्रह्मविद्वरं
देवं
सद्गुरुं
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 ब्रह्म विद्वरं
ओम
ओम
श्री
श्री
गणेशाय
गणेशाय
नमः।
नमः।
ओम
ओम
श्री
श्री
सरस्वत्यै
सरस्वत्यै
नमः।
नमः।
ओम
ओम
श्री
श्री
गुरुभ्यो
गुरुभ्यो
नमः।
नमः।
ओम भद्रं
भद्रं
कर्णैः
कर्णैः
शृणुयाम
शृणुयाम
देवाः,
देवाः,
भद्रं
भद्रं
पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः, स्थिरैरङ्गैः सुष्ठु वागं सस्तनूभिः, यशेम देवहि तय्यदायुः, स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः, स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः, स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः, स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। हरि ओम्। टुडे इज अवर लास्ट टॉक ऑन प्रश्नोपनिषद। आई जस्ट समराइज व्हाट वी डिस्कस्ड लास्ट वीक, बिकॉज दैट वाज अ लिटिल हैवी टॉपिक, एज मोहिनी आंटी सेड, सो विल ट्राई टू लाइटन इट। So I think the question is, what is real and what is unreal? I think one line everybody should memorize: Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So Brahman alone is Satyam. Please write that down. And this whole Jagat is Mithya, is an illusion. So how can Brahma be Satyam and this visible world be Mithya? Illusion. First of all, we have to understand what is the meaning of real and unreal. See, our idea is that what I can see, hear, smell, taste, touch is real, and what I cannot see, hear, smell, taste, touch is unreal. See, that is our idea. You know, if I can see it, then I believe it. If I don't see it, it doesn't exist. But according to Vedanta, the word real means that which is the same in the three periods of time, trikala, past, present, and future, that which remains unchanged is real. And whatever is changing, which was not there in the past, is here now and will not be in the future, Vedanta considers as unreal. So a few years ago, I was not there. Now I am here talking, and in a few years, I will not be there. So I, this individuality, this ego, is a temporary appearance. It's a temporary appearance. If you don't want to say unreal, you can say it is a temporary appearance. Now, what is the substratum on which this whole universe is functioning? That is Brahman. That is the substratum. That is the consciousness on which you and I, not only you and I, but all the forests, animals, birds, plants, fish, even all the stars, the galaxies, even billions and trillions of miles of space, everything is supported upon that substratum. So that substratum, which they call as Brahman, which they call as big, is real. And what we see is an appearance upon that Brahman. So just as when I go to sleep, in my mind, there is an appearance of a dream. And when I am in the dream looks very real. I'm running to the airport and I miss my flight. And then I'm sitting there. I'm very sad, stressed because I had an interview. So I'm dreaming all that. But in the dream, does it look unreal? No, the dream looks very real. Oh, I'm so sad. I'm sitting at the airport counter, waiting for my next flight because I lost my interview, my job, you know, because I was thinking about my job when I went to sleep, which my interview was not for 2 weeks. But since I was thinking, I dreamt that. So in the dream looks very real. But when you wake up, you say, "Arey yaar, no, no, it was just a dream. My interview is not for 2 more weeks and I have not missed any flight." So similarly, in this world, Right now, this world looks very real to us because we are in the dream of this world. That's what the Mahatmas tell us. I still have that as much experience as all of you that this world is real. But the realized Mahatmas tell us that once you wake up to that higher reality, then you will understand this world is an appearance, is a dream. So right now, we don't believe the Mahatmas. Not only we don't believe them, but we criticize them, we crucify them, we put them in jail, we mistreat them, because they are telling us something that we don't believe. So we have to understand that there is a reality on which this world is appearing. So it does not mean you don't deal with the world. You deal with the world. There are laws of karma. There are laws of physics, chemistry, biology. You follow all those laws. You cannot jump from a building and say, oh, this is unreal gravity and I'll jump. You will fall and break your bones. But while we are dealing with this world, and there is a law of karma also, that what I do, so I reap, all those. So while I am functioning in this world, I understand that this world is a temporary appearance and my real nature is Brahman. That is who I really am. And this body, mind, and intellect, this ego, is a temporary role that I haven't taken. And I have taken a name, Mohini or Lata or whatever name, male, female. But my true nature is Brahman, and I am that Atma, that Brahman, who at this moment is playing the role, and whatever role I have been assigned, whether it's mother, father, grandmother, daughter, son, brother, sister, whatever role I have been assigned, I play that role to the best of my ability, always remembering God, that it is He who has sent me, He who has given me, and He alone is real. God alone is real. If you don't want to say Brahman, you can say God. God alone was there, is there, and will be there. And you can call Him Krishna, you can call Ram or Mother Saraswati or Jesus or Father in Heaven, Allah, whatever you want to call. But there is one reality on which this world is playing. And how did the world appear and why does the world look different? Just as ocean is there. Now from ocean, when the water evaporates, becomes water vapor, doesn't it look different from ocean? In fact, you can't even see water vapor. Then it becomes cloud, and cloud is different from ocean. Then it becomes rain. Rain is different from ocean. Becomes a river. River is different from ocean. But when the river merges into the ocean, it becomes ocean. So similarly, you and I have emerged from that reality. We are different because we have a different appearance. But the reality of that cloud and water vapor and rain is H2O, just as the reality of ocean is H2O. So same way, your and my reality is Brahman, and that is one, and that is not many. So that is the understanding. If you say this world is real, then there become two reals, right? There is one real called Brahman and one real called world. So then there are two. So then you're limiting Brahman, and Brahman becomes Dvaitam, right? But Vedanta says, Advaitam, there is only one reality. Everything else is Maya. It is illusion. And it is the power of Maya, because of which Bhagwan has created this world through Maya. And that's why, you know, we are deluded by Maya. That's why they say, oh, Maya badi thagni, you know, Maya deludes us. So praying to Bhagwan, asking for his grace and blessings, and to our guru, studying from them, we go beyond this power of Maya. Because think about it, like if I'm standing in front of a mirror, I lift my right hand, the picture lifts what? The left hand, mm-hmm. Right? The mirror. If I put my hand on the right side of my face, the person is put. So everything is opposite. The right side looks left, left side looks right. So similarly, if this world was real, it should have the same properties as Brahman, but it doesn't. Brahman is permanent, world is temporary, or Brahman or God. Brahman is all knowing, world is ignorant. We are not all knowing. Brahman is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. We are not. We are not omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. So that's why we should understand that this is a role I am playing and the world is a stage. And I hope that answers what was doubtful last time. And so today the shlokas are short. So if we can finish them soon, then we'll summarize the previous six questions. I'll try to summarize the previous six questions. So today we'll do shloka number 6 in query number 6. Mantra number 6 in query number 6. Jagriti, you have this book? You can unmute, please. It's on page 228 of this black book. Ara Iva Ratha Nabhau.
Ara Iva Ratha Nabhau.
Kala Yasmin.
Kala Yasmin.
Pratishthitaha.
Pratishthitaha.
Tam Vedyam Purusham.
Tam Vedyam Purusham.
Vedayatha.
Vedayatha.
Mavo Mrityuhu.
Mavo Mrityuhu.
Parivyatha iti.
Parivyatha iti.
You can please mute. We'll all chant together. Ara iva ratanabhav kala yasmin pratishthitaha tam vedyam purusham veda yatha mavo mrityuhu parivyatha iti. So he says, last week we had heard the example of the river that comes from the ocean, merges back into the ocean. Today the Rishi is giving us a different example. Ara Iva Ratha Nabhav. Ara means spokes. Ara Iva means just as spokes where Ratha Nabhav. Ratha Nabhav means in the wheel of the chariot, in the hub of the chariot wheel. So in the wheel, there is a hub, you know, like the axle, which holds the wheel. And then there are spokes that go out. And then there is a circle around it, which is the actual wheel. So what is holding the wheel together is the hub. If the hub was not there, the spokes wouldn't have anything to hold on. And when you're driving, the wheel would not have, you know, would just fall apart. And so nothing would move. So it is the hub that is holding the wheel together, the spokes together. So same way, it is the Purusha, we'll talk about that. Kala, all these 16 kalas that we are seeing, Yasmin Pratishthitaha, in that Purusha or on that Purusha. Yasmin means both on or in. On that Purusha, pratishthitaha are stationed, are established. So just as the spokes are stabilized on the rub, on the hub, so this world is established, stationed upon Purusha. And that Purusha, tam vedyam, he says, that alone is to be known. That is the most important thing to be known. And Veda, why? Why should I know that? Why should I know? I know chemistry, physics, I know English, Hindi. Why should I know Purusha? He says, Yatha, if you do not know, then what will happen? Ma vo mrityu parivyatha iti. If you know it, then ma vaha, do you not mrityu parivyatha iti. Mrityu, the death, will not bother you. Parivyatha means completely bother. Iti. So the Rishi is saying, if you do not know this Purusha, then death will bother you, will disturb you. If you know it, death will not disturb you. And actually, in every query, the last mantra that the Rishi gives is the highest knowledge, that that Brahman you are, that is the one to be known, and that is the way to go beyond death. So because it is an Upanishad, all the six queries, the last mantra gives us the highest knowledge. So let us see. So we talked about the wheel, and this world is a temporary appearance. Gurudev in his commentary talks about like a rainbow. You know, suppose there is a rainbow and you try to climb on the rainbow and say, I'll go to the sky. It's not going to happen. You will fall. So similarly, this world, we depend upon this world for everything. You know, oh, the world will give me everything. And as long as you depend upon this temporary world, you will fall. So trying to depend on the world is like trying to climb a rainbow and stand on the rainbow and say, you know, I'm very stable. So I think this world is stable. Oh, I am financially stable. I have money. I have health. I have, you know, but anything can change. You know, health can go away. Money can go away. This person was nice to me. That can change. So situations, people can change. And if we hold on to people, situations, we will have sorrow. So hold on to Bhagwan. You say, you are, tu hi mera sahara hai. You are my refuge. And once you take refuge in me, Bhagwan says, then I take care of you. Kaunteya prati janihi name bhakta pranashyati. He says, Arjuna, know very well, my bhakta never perishes. Then I take responsibility. And this wheel is a beautiful example because science tells us that all these galaxies and stars, they are all rotating. It's not that the sun is stationary and the stars are, everything is moving. The stars that you see today, after a month, you won't see those stars. You will see different stars, different planets. Why? Because the whole universe is rotating. All the galaxies, all the planets, all the stars are rotating on that hub of that wheel, which is Brahman. So Brahman is the center on which everything is moving. And that is, I have to understand, I am also rotating. And Mrityu here means the world of change. Mrityu is the final change, but we are going through constant change. So one who understands I am that changeless reality, that is my true nature, then the changes will not bother me. Even death cannot bother such an individual. That is the essence of this mantra. And that is the only thing that must be known. And Gurudev in page 231, don't read it now, but after this class, please read the last paragraph of page 231, where he says, we spend all our time in acquiring, possessing, eating, drinking, meeting. And he says, none of that is important. The only thing to be known is Brahman, that alone, and that is you. Again, Brahman is not somebody somewhere sitting. Bhagwan is not somewhere in Vaikuntha or Kailash, but in my own heart as me. And that I have to understand. And these colors, what with the 16 colors, you know, we had talked about air, space, fire, water, earth, and all the, you know, sense organs, organs of action, the mind, faith, you know, all those 16 that had been talked about constitute this universe. Yes, this universe is there, made of five elements and law of karma and everything there. So I follow that, but understand that is not true. That is not my nature. And the only thing true is this Purusha. Purusha means this life consciousness within, which also is called Brahman, can be called Bhagwan, can be called God, any of those. And why Purusha? Purnatvat iti Purusha. Because Purusha is Purna, he is complete. You and I, we are incomplete, and we think by getting that, I will become complete. Only if I get that next million, or only if I get this, or only if I get that, or only if this person does behaves. But I am complete, that I have to understand. And Purusha means Puri Shayanath, that which resides in this city of nine gates is Purusha. So that Purusha, Purusha does not mean male, Purusha here means consciousness. And once this person realizes, then they say his Sukshma Sharira dies. That's what even Swami Ishwarananda ji told us in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. That dies does not mean that he no longer functions. This subtle body can no longer persecute him. The mind and intellect can no longer disturb this person. Even the body cannot disturb, because this person can distance himself. And then this person goes beyond even death. And there is a beautiful Dhruva story. Everybody knows how his stepmother rejected him. And then he went and found Vishnu, you know, through Naradji's mantra. And then having realized Vishnu as his own self and seeing Bhagwan Vishnu not only outside but within, he comes back and they make him king of that kingdom where he was. And it is said he ruled for 36,000 years. That's how long he ruled. Well, even if doesn't matter, 36 or 3600 or 36,000. But after having ruled, he was to go back to Vaikuntha, and a Viman came. You know, this from Vaikuntha, this plane comes to take these great souls. And Yamaraj, the god of death, came and bowed his head down and he said, put your foot on my head and then climb onto that chariot. Yeah. That means even the god of death, Yamaraj, was blessed to have a devotee's dust of his feet on his head. So that is a beautiful story that I didn't know, and I just heard it when I was listening to this commentary. And it's not that the bhakta is trying to show off. For him, Bhagwan alone is important. But this story tells us about the glory of bhakti and the glory of bhakta. So beautiful shloka tells us that such a person goes beyond death. We'll do the next one. Moini auntie, you have this? You can unmute. You have this book? You can unmute, please. You are still muted. You can unmute. Tan hovacha.
Tan hovacha.
Etavat.
Etavat. Evam aham, etat param, brahma veda,
natah,
natah, param astiti.
Yeah, you can please mute. We'll all chant together. Tan hovacha. Eta vadevaham etat param brahma veda natah paramastiti. So, Tan, to those students, to those students, indeed, uvacha. So the Rishi talks to the students. And what does he say? Etavat. Eva aham, this alone, etavat means this alone, etavat eva, this alone, aham, me, etat param brahma veda, this brahma which is supreme, that is what I know about Brahman. So he says, oh, so this alone you know about Brahman, is there something more than what you know? You say, this alone I know. He said, no, natah paramastiti, beyond this, more than this, na atah, beyond this, parama astiti, there is nothing beyond this Brahman. So Brahman alone is this whole universe, and that Brahman I know, Rishi says. You and I might say, I also know Brahman. I have read Prashnopanishad. I have read Kiv. But our knowing and Rishi's knowing is different. Our knowing is reading Swami Chinmayananda's commentary. So our knowing is what Swami Chinmayananda knows. But what Swami Chinmayananda knows, or which Rishi Pipalada knows, his or her own experience. So that is the difference between us and the Mahatma. The Mahatma knows as his or her experience. You and I know it as his experience, as something I have read. So that is the difference. That is called aparoksha anubhuti. Not known through anybody's eyes, but known through my own eyes. So as we said, this is the highest knowledge. There is nothing higher. But what our problem is that after having read Ishavasya Upanishad, Prashnopanishad, all this, he said, maybe one more Upanishad I should read, then I will get it. So we keep reading, you know, one Upanishad, second Upanishad. Not that anything wrong with reading. It's better to read Upanishad than to read some nonsense on the internet or, you know. So I'm not saying that. But don't just keep on reading books and never follow it. Okay. It's like you collect a bunch of maps. You know, you collect, in the olden days, we used to get maps from AAA. So you have all different maps of LA, but you never go to LA, or it could be Chicago. You have maps of Chicago, but you never go. What use is that? Or nowadays you sit in the car, you turn on the GPS. Okay, I need directions for San Jose, but then I don't go there. Then that GPS is useless. That map is useless. So reading Upanishads is good, but don't just keep on reading. Sit down, contemplate upon it, and then start living it, start practicing it, alone reading the scriptures. And then we say, oh, I have read so many Upanishads. I have listened to so many Mahatmas. And then we check off, you know, I have listened to that Mahatma also, then that one also, then that one. So it is becomes a feather in our cap. How many Upanishads I have read, how many chapters of Gita I have listened to. Oh, Gita to mere ko aati hai. I know it. Karm karo, karm phal ki chinta mat karo. If you ask somebody, what is Gita? One line. Do karma, don't worry about phal. All the other 700 shlokas we combine into one line. So aisa nahi hai. There is so much in Bhagavad Gita. The moment you say, I know, you stop growing. You say, Bhagwan, you alone know. Please guide me. I am ignorant. That humility must be there. If you think you know, you don't know. In fact, one of the Upanishads says, Kain Upanishad says, if you think you know, you don't know. And that, and if you think you don't know, then you know. That is called knowing, and that is humility. So that's what they say. You think about it, contemplate upon it, purify your mind, and keep moving on this path. Do not become complacent. Arey, mujhe toh aa gaya. You know, I have already heard it. I already know it. Keep moving on this path and obstacles will come. Just pray to Bhagwan. Oh, Bhagwan, my mind is disturbed. I'm not able to contemplate upon you. Please give me the strength. So always remember Bhagwan. Remember the Guru. Ask for his grace and do not stop. And if doubts come, Guru will come in some form to answer it. All these Swamijis come, Mahatmas come, ask them and approach them. So why are there so many Upanishads if the truth in all is the same? It is the same truth. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. But each Upanishad approach is different. The student is different. The student's thinking is different. The time of period of history is different. Like, you know, Chandogya Upanishad, the student asks his father. In Kaivalya Upanishad, Ashwalayan goes to Brahmaji. So the student is of a different caliber. The teacher is different. So these Upanishads appear different, but the truth is the same. So keep reading. There's nothing wrong. But do not limit it to reading. Do not limit it to just listening. But apply that and start progressing on this path. And the teacher ends here. Because he has already taught them Jiva Brahma Aikyam, that there is only one Brahman and all these Jivas are nothing but Brahman. That's what Bhagavan Krishna says, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. It is very hard to find a Mahatma who sees this whole world as Vasudeva, sees this whole world as God, whole world as Bhagavan. So here, the teacher has given the knowledge fully. He says, I have told you everything I know. And not only I have told you everything, but there is nothing beyond this to know. See, the teacher is very confident. He's not saying, I have told you, but maybe if you go to that other teacher, he can tell you more. He says, no, this is the ultimate truth. The teacher, if you go to another teacher, he may express it differently, but the truth is one. And also the teacher has given without desire. He's not saying, first give me Guru Dakshina, then I will give you. No, he has given the knowledge completely, fully, not keeping anything back. And then he is done. And he has no desire. The teacher has no selfish desire. That's why he has taken sannyas. If his desire was wealth or property, he wouldn't have taken sannyas living in the forest in a hut. Why? Because he realizes world is not important. And so here the teacher ends his discourse, most beautiful Upanishad. I'll try to summarize at the end all the six questions. Now, what does the student do? See, the student, what is the six students? What is their response? So that we'll see.
Last
shloka, the shloka number 8. Lata, you want to unmute, please?
Okay.
Te tamarchaya antaha. Tvam hina pita. Yosmakam vidyayaha. Param param tarayasiti. Namah param rishibhyo. Namah param rishibhyaha. You can please mute. We'll all chant together. Te tamarjyantastvam himna pita yosmakam vidyayaha paramparam tarayasiti namah param rishibhyaha. Beautiful gratitude the students are expressing. The first thing they do is bow down to the teacher, touch his feet, and they tam archayantaha, they are worshipping the teacher, because for them teacher is Bhagwan. You know, they say Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat Para Brahma, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So the connection of Guru or the status of Guru is as much as Bhagwan. They don't consider Guru anything less. So te tam archayanta. Worshipping the Guru, what do they say? Tvam hi naf pita. You alone are our father. Naf means our. It's the sixth case of aham, bahuvachan, plural. So tvam indeed naha pita. You are indeed our father. Why? Yaha asmakam avidyaya. Asmakam to us. Yaha to this avidyayaha. That is the fifth case. From this avidyaya. From this avidya, which is an ocean of ignorance. Param param tarayasi iti. Param means the supreme knowledge you have given us. And param tarayasiti, you have taken us across this ocean of samsara. So samsara is equated with an ocean. And it is said that this ocean of ignorance in which I was drowning, oh Guru, it is
Sorry, I couldn't find it.
It is you who through the boat of knowledge, gyan plave neiva, you know, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says in the sam tarishyati, because with this boat of knowledge, you will cross this ocean of samsara. So they bow down to the rishi, to the guru, and say, you are the one that has carried us across this ocean of samsara. And namaha param rishi bhyo namaha. So they bow down to the guru shishya parampara, that these great masters who came up with this knowledge, who heard this knowledge and have passed it on from teacher to student to teacher to student. We bow down to the guru shishya parampara, and they bow, say it twice, nama param rishibhyaha. Nama param rishibhyaha means the book is ending. So when something is said twice, that means this is the end of this Upanishad. So that's what he says. We bow down to the guru shishya parampara. Now, why does he call the guru the father? Because one birth we take from the mother's womb, but here the rishi has given him another birth where he has come out of this ego, just as we come out of the mother's womb. So he has come out of this ego to realize his true nature. So that is why in Christianity they call it born again Christian. Yeah. One who has got this knowledge is called born again. That's why a Brahman does not mean caste, but a true Brahmin is called Dvija, is born again. So that's what he says, we are born again. And they are expressing their gratitude to the teacher who has nourished them and given them this knowledge. And Viparit Bhavna, I had this wrong idea, the student says, that I am this limited body, mind, intellect, ego, and you have made me realize. And each one of those students, the last mantra, as I said, the rishi gives the highest knowledge that you are that Brahman. And that's what, and what do the students do? They take this knowledge and then they share it. So remember the Ratan, the student who came, Ratnabha. So Shukesha will go and tell the student who had come that this is the highest knowledge. So then the students become teachers and pass on this knowledge to others. And this Upanishad was the first teaching of Pujya Gurudev. When he came down from the Himalayas to Pune, the first text he took was Prashnopanishad. And he spent about more than 30 days, I think close to 40 days to teach this. So we are blessed that we are able to study this Upanishad which Pujya Gurudev had taught first. So here we end the Upanishad. What I'll try to do is summarize the six questions and the six answers. It's not important to know the name of the student, but the first question he asks is that from where did this world originate? Oh Guru, please tell us, how did this world first come about? And the Guru answers the first question as saying that Brahmaji, the creator, created prana and rayi. Rayi is matter, prana is energy, but it's not inert energy. See, like electricity is inert, magnetism is inert. Electricity cannot move on its own. I have to put on the switch for electricity to go in the bulb. But prana here means energy which is sentient. So the sentient energy and matter together made this universe. And in the first mantra, the rishi has given us the glory of the sun, how it travels through the sky with seven horses, seven colors, and so on. So the sun has been worshipped in the first mantra, Surya Bhagavan. In the second query, the student asks that what are those that are sustaining this body and who of them is the supreme? So the sustaining the body are the five elements, five sense organs, five organs of action, 15, and mana, buddhi, chitta, ahankar, 19. So these 19 were arguing that I am supreme, I am supreme. But prana, which is the life principle, said, I am the one, and because of which you are all sustained. So do not get arrogant. And when the prana got up to leave in this assembly, as though to leave, everybody could not breathe. They were all not able to function. So prana is the supreme. So the second query, they do the stuti of prana. As the first one was sun, the second query, they do the stuti of prana. You are the greatest. You are the supreme. And there also they say prana, ara iva ratha nabhav. The same idea is used, that you are the spoke on which this whole universe rotates. The third question the student asked is, how does this prana enter the body? How does it divide into five? What are the functions? And how does it leave? And why does it leave? So multiple questions. So they say the prana enters as a reflection of consciousness upon the subtle body, mind and intellect, and then divides into five. Prana is the intake, apana is excretion, samana is digestion, vyana is circulation. And at the time of death, when all the karmas are exhausted, then udana, what happens at the time of death, and why does prana leave? Because this jiva's karmas have exhausted. It could be 6 hours, could be 6 years, could be 60 years, could be 100 years. But when this jiva's time has ended, the udana takes the subtle body and all these 19 factors. The gross body is left behind, but the subtle body is taken to heaven or hell, depending on the karmas. And that's how it continues. And again, the rishi ends with glorification of Atma. Then the fourth question the student asks, what are the three states, waking, dream, and deep sleep? And who is it that is awake? Who dreams? Why do I, what happens when I go to deep sleep? And where are all these three established? Some pratishtha, where are they established? So in this query, the teacher answers very well that in the waking state, the gross, subtle, and causal body are all functioning. In the dream state, only the subtle body is functioning. The waking, you know, senses and all are not functioning in the dream. And in the deep sleep, even the mind and intellect all merges into the deep sleep, just as birds. They come out, they fly during the day, but at night they go back to rest in the tree. So similarly, the gross and subtle body, which is running around throughout the world, and even in the dream, the subtle body is running, but at the time of deep sleep, it rests. So that is the fourth question. In the fifth question, the student asks, what is Om? Can you please tell us the different parts of Om, and the glory of Om is described. So they describe A, U, Ma, A as the waking state, U as the dream, Ma as the deep sleep, and then followed by silence, which they call A Matra. So A Matra, U Matra, Ma Matra, and then silence is called A Matra. And the glory of Om, that one who chants Om, but paying attention to attention to A means serving this world and considering this world as real, as important, and living a very noble life. If this person leaves the body, he does not go to heaven or hell. Very quickly, he comes back to earth and continues his journey. He or she then is born in the house of noble people, noble parents, where this knowledge is given. And this person very quickly evolves to higher state. So that is one who contemplates on the gross world, chanting Om, but paying more attention to A, which is the gross world. How about if I contemplate on the subtle world, U and Ana, U, you know, that is, that means I think the mind and intellect alone are important. And this person is, becomes one with the total mind and develops his mind, intellect a lot, spends a lot of time. and loves the world, is very kind, compassionate, obviously. So then this person will go for a long period of time to heaven, enjoy all the pleasures, come back to earth, but his status will be higher than. He also will come to noble parents, will continue, but this person's status will be higher than the first one and very quickly will progress. In fact, may not even need the whole life. Very quickly, this person realizes. Because that person is very evolved, like Raman Maharishi or, you know, Pujya Gurudev and all. Very quickly, they realized. Tapovan Maharaj did not even have a guru. Raman Maharishi didn't have a guru because they were already very, very highly evolved. And they very quickly reached the truth. The one who worships Ma means, again, the totality, worships everybody, serves everybody, but and is highly evolved, almost there, just falls a little bit short, then such a person goes to Brahma Loka, where he may have very minimum ignorance or minimum vasanas, and there Brahmaji himself teaches, and that is called, so A Upasana comes back, U Upasana goes to heaven and comes back. The Ma Upasana goes to Brahma Loka. And then from there, he is taught. So that is, so the idea is that when we are chanting Om, that's what even Swamiji told us in this Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Chant Om slowly and then pay attention to the silence, the Amatra. And according to the Shvetashvatara, chanting Om is even superior to chanting Bhagwan's name with form. But whatever works for everybody. But ultimately, even when you are chanting Om Namah Shivaya, then pay attention to the silence after that. So that is Amatra. And then the last one we already discussed today, that there is this Purusha, this Supreme Consciousness, on which these 16 colors are playing, and they are supported just as the hub supports the spokes of the wheel and supports the wheel. So same with these 16 parts, colors, mind, intellect, all we talked about, faith and so on, the five elements, the sense organs, organs of action, they all constitute the 16 colors. And do not give too much importance to the 16 colors, but give importance to the Brahman, the Om, the hub, Bhagwan, whatever we want to call him. So this is the summary of the six questions. Let us just chant the first query. You can, you keep yourself muted. We'll just chant together. Om Sukeshacha Bharadvajaha Shaibhyascha Satyakamaha Sauryayani Chagargyaha Kausalyaschash Valayanau Bhargavo Vaidarbihi Kabandhi Katyayanaste Heite Brahma Para Brahma Nishtha Param Brahman Veshamanaha Eshaha Vai Tatsarvam Vakshyatiti Teha Samit Panayo Bhagavantam Pimpaladam Upasannaha. So by chanting the first mantra again, we are promising that we will read this Upanishad again. Don't just put it on the shelf. Ho gaya, khatam. I'm done, you know, back of the shelf somewhere where dust can collect. But I will read this Upanishad again so I understand it better. Even today, for me to prepare the summary last night, I had to read all of this. So it helped me also to revise all these six queries. So we have about 9 minutes or so, or 9-10 minutes. If somebody has questions, comments, please feel free to ask. Or anything you would like to add, please feel free. Yeah, Carrie, go ahead. You have something?
I just wondered, is it enough to just say that if something changes, it's not real? And,
yes.
And if it doesn't change, then it's real.
Absolutely. Right. whatever changes is not real. Anything that changes, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the mountains, me, the body, mind, intellect, vasanas, everything is changing. Yes. In the BMI chart, only Om is changeless. Vasanas, BMI, PFT, OET, objects, emotions, thoughts, everything is changing. So whatever is changing is not real, and whatever is changing is not me. See, again, we shouldn't say what is not changing is Brahman. Then we are objectifying. There is some Brahman. What is not changing is me. So in this me, if anything is changing, that is not me. If my body is changing, if my mind is changing, if my intellect is changing, if my desires are changing, that is not me. So whatever is changing, I am not. Whatever you are aware of, I am not, yes.
Do you think it's helpful to, like, as you live your life, to just think about, well, everything must change, everything changes, to just keep you aware that it's not real?
Yes. And I don't change. See, keep attention always. Even when I was walking with Swami Ishwarananji, he says, shift your attention always to that changeless I. That I, capital I, that never changes. And that was the, I was aware of my childhood and youth and middle age and old age. But the one awareness, you know, that in Dakshinamurti, he says, you know, that Balya, Dishwat, Jagrada, Dishu, Sarva, Avasthasu Api, from childhood onwards in waking, dream, and deep sleep, in all situations, aham, aham, iti. I am, not the one that is changing. And even the ego constantly changes. Sometime I think I'm great, sometime not so great, sometime happy, sometime sad. So the one that is changing is not me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Good question. Thank you. Anything else?
Mukund Malayuri.
Actually, next week, somebody asked that if we can summarize the first chapter of Shweta Ashvatara Upanishad. So next week, I'll try to summarize the whole chapter. That's what Swami Ishwarananji did in a little detail, because maybe some of you were not able to attend or, you know, don't remember. So that will force me also to study the first chapter. So we'll go into a little more detail than what we summarized today, try to go shloka by shloka, word by word, and summarize the first chapter. And the Mukund Mala will start in 2 weeks. That is a much easier text. It's a very sweet.
I have the books in the office.
Yeah, we have books in the office. If somebody needs, please.
So this is a new edition with the commentary.
Jago, if you don't have, can you stop by at the mission and pick it up at the Chinmaya Mission on Sunday in Los Angeles? They should have it there in Tustin.
Yeah, they do have it.
They have it there in Tustin. If by chance you don't have it, let me know, then we'll mail it to you. But try to pick it up from there. Mailing is expensive, and also it's hard to stand in line at the post office and all. But if you can get it, yeah, Moini Aunty.
You're summarizing chapter one. It has 6 chapters. Should we continue and finish this?
No.
Shweta Ashvatara Swami Ishwarananji will be doing it when he comes back.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that I won't be doing that. That Swamiji will do in the second chapter when he comes back in a few months. And every time he'll do one chapter.
Okay.
I'll only summarize the first chapter, what Swamiji covered, and then we will start Mukund Mala. That will be easier. That is a very beautiful devotional text, but it not only has devotion, has a lot of knowledge in it too. Very profound, very beautiful text, beautiful singing. So it's very nice.
Okay, thank you.
Very nice text. So it will be a lot of bhakti, a lot of heart, you know, is there in that. The author has poured his whole heart, you know, out of love for Shri Krishna. It is devoted to Bhagavan Shri Krishna.
Mukund Mala.
That's why it is called. It's an mala. It is an offering, a garland to Bhagavan Shri Krishna, who is called Mukunda. That's one of his names. Terry, you have another comment?
Will you be at the mission any other day besides Sunday?
No, right? Nehru? Were you planning to go one time?
Yeah, I was planning to go, but I don't know which day.
But I think she's planning to go one day. She can call you maybe tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, call or text me, yeah, if you are.
Yeah.
I might be out of town this Sunday.
Sunday.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, Mukund Mala is not starting till 2 weeks. So you have...
Right. Okay. I have a one. Okay.
Another Sunday also. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Sunday morning, but we'll be there when we do the Bal Vihar.
Okay.
Any other... Yeah. Lata, go ahead. Unmute, please.
Yeah. You described what is the focus of A, U, and M, Om. But what if you focus on that silence?
You
cannot go to that focus in silence without going through Om, and then you get there, and what you emphasize that silence in your mind.
The silence is called Turiya, in Mandukya, and the A, U, and Ma, they are established in silence. The sound emerges from silence and merges back into silence. So directly we should focus on silence. You don't have to go through a ma. You chant Om.
If you can.
And then try to keep your attention as much as on the silence. If not, you can also keep attention on the sound. You know, pay attention to the sound and then let the sound merge into silence. And that silence is what we have to reach. And that is the final state. That is called the Turiya state, or the state of Atma, the state of enlightenment. So one who is constantly able to keep his or her attention on the silence, even when the conversation is going on, when the sound is going on, but the substratum of the sound is silence. And when the sound ends, attention is on silence. So what Swamiji, again, this time he has told me many times, he says, just sit. You have a beautiful backyard. You have trees and mountains. He said, just sit for half an hour there, 1 hour there. And that just sit
doing
and
nothing.
Do nothing. Not even try to chant the name of Bhagwan or Mala, nothing. Just sit and observe the trees, observe the mountains, observe, you know, the birds. Actually, yesterday evening I sat for a while, and the chirping of birds was so beautiful. It was evening time and they were all getting ready to sleep. It was so soothing. It was so nice. So just sit and watch the trees, you know, be with the nature. That's what they say. Even when you're walking, pay attention. But walking, again, you're doing some activity, but just sit in silence doing nothing and try not to even think anything. Just try to be one with nature and one with God who is within. So that is a matra, that is silence.
We are used to doing and we are used to not doing anything, we think we waste thinking, talking.
That's my problem too, because I have to prepare, I have to write, or if nothing else, now all this WhatsApp, my God, itna time leta. Even I am very guilty of that. All these, they keep adding new and new sites. Kern County Hindus, now that's another one. So that is the problem. One has to be take out time to do nothing.
So what happens in that Turiya state? Are you becoming more creative at the end of it? Or you are one with that?
Maybe or may not be.
You are in silence.
And some people become more creative. Again, depends on their vasanas, on their desire. Somebody has a desire to create, he will create. Other person will just sit. Like there are some Mahatmas who just merged with the reality and they are there for years sitting in, and they do nothing. They just roam around and do nothing. So it doesn't necessarily mean that only one who is teaching is realized and one who is sitting in one place is not. They both
In their presence, they do give out a lot of positive energy.
Yeah, they give a lot of positive energy, a lot of
aura.
Aura.
The aura is, they say, goes for miles and miles.
Even not only miles, but even after they drop their body, you can feel the presence that a Mahatma lived here.
Very true. Thank you.
Yeah, I had that experience when I went to where my mother's guru used to live, and he had passed away 14 years ago. But when I went to his room, I felt he is still there. Very clearly, I feel his presence. Very clearly. Oh wow. My God, that was an amazing experience. I've never had that after that. It was very nice.
Thank you.
I think we can end. If somebody has additional questions, somebody has additional questions, we can stay back afterwards. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha Hari Om. Thank you very much. Hari Om. If anybody has any questions, they can unmute and we can.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I have a question that it's a grammar question. I was looking at chapter one, number, let's see, it would be 18 and 19.
Chapter one in Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah, I was just looking at the Gita chanting. I try to. You know, look through
it. What is it? Just
chant. In number 18, it's a Draupadeyash, and that means like sons of Draupadi.
Draupadeya. So Draupadi sons become Draupadeya. Neeru, mujhe wo orange book chahiye hogi, please.
I was just wondering how do you. I was just thinking how do you know how to do the sons of. The sons of, is that like a...
See, Draupadi is the name. Draupade are the ones who are Draupadi. Like Vasudev is the father. Son becomes Vasudev.
Vasudev becomes
Vasudev. Draupadi's children become Draupade. Those who are children.
There are many.
Do you put on the genitive, the plural genitive?
I'm not sure of the exact grammar rule, but I know that when you add something to it, then it becomes.
Because I noticed that on the next one, okay, number 19, they have the sons of
Dhritarashtra. Yeah, so Dhritarashtra's children become Dhritarashtra. It is the Shashti Bahuvachan of.
Yes.
So, yeah, I get that. Let me finish. Dhritarashtra's children become Dhritarashtraha.
Oh.
Dhritarashtra means the sons of Dhritarashtra. So Dhritarashtraha, the plural becomes Dhritarashtraha, and the Bahuvachan of that becomes Dhritarashtranam, Shashti Bahuvachan, sixth Bahuvachan.
Yes. As Kaunteya, as Kunti's son.
Ji. Heart of Dhritarashtra's children. The heart.
And they also change Dhritarashtra, changes the
That's what I said. Yeah. Like yeah, Dhritarashtra becomes Dhritarashtra, like Vasudev becomes Vasudev.
How do they know? I mean, what's the rule for changing that Dhrishta to Dhritarashtra?
Yeah, so when you put A at the bottom of the name, the first letter, it means the child. So like Vasudev becomes Vasudev. So Dhritarashtra becomes Dhritarashtra. That's how it becomes.
Okay.
When you put an A in the bottom of the first letter, then it means the child.
Okay.
Vasudev becomes Vasudev. And Dhritarashtra becomes Dhritarashtra.
Okay.
And Dhritarashtraha means many sons. And Dhritarashtranam means the sixth case, Bahuvachan.
I recognize the Anam, that ending.
Yeah, Dhritarashtranam.
Bahu. Okay.
Bahuvachan, sixth case, Shashti.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Lata, you have a question? No.
Okay. No, I didn't have a question. Okay. Actually, when we were reciting earlier today, I will come up with that one. Rudram.
Yeah. Om Namo Bhagavate Rudraya.
The one we did yesterday. Shullake Bhyascha. So there are two Allahs there.
Right.
We did that Sandhi yesterday, remember?
Yeah, no, that may not be. Where is it? What is it?
Okay, it's in this book, Mantra book, and at page 127.
Shullake Bhyascha.
Right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 from the bottom up.
Kshullaka. Kshullaka, I think Kshullaka is a word. It's not a sandhi here. It is.
Oh, it's not the sandhi here? No.
Kshullake bhyaha. So it is.
Okay.
Ke bhyaha. Of these Kshullake bhyaha. Probably it is the fifth case they are using here. Fifth case plural.
Kshullaka.
That would be the
I my mind went to that sandhi, but I was going to look it up what the word would be, root word would be.
Right. You can look it up. Kshullaka. You can go to Gita, what do you call it? Gita, that Sanskrit Abhyas.
Correct. Will do.
Shullaka. Yeah, it's tiny, small, trifling.
Small. So Shullaka is a small, right?
Small, right. Shullaka. Abhyaha.
Okay.
So that is a word. That's not a sandhi.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
No,
thank
no
you.
No,
but our mind is thinking what you are teaching, teacher.
Right. That's good. That's very good. That's very good. But doesn't mean to la automatically does not mean sandhi. You have to look at context, because what is joining with what?
Okay. Will do.
Yeah. So here it is a word, kshullaka. It means
trifling.
Thank you. Unimportant. Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anil.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Hari Om, you too. Acha, auntie ji.